as the choir's coming down, I want to ask if all those that are going to camp tomorrow, if you would just come here to the center, and for all of our kids that are going to be going back for children's church and the teachers, just come and gather this morning around us together. And then I want to ask the congregation is that we come and lay hands on these young kids and we pray for them and pray that this week will be a week that will change their lives. If they're not a follower of Christ, that they would come to know Christ this week. And if they are, that they would grow and be challenged in their faith this week as well. And that we would be praying for them not only today, but all through the week as they return back here on Saturday. They'll leave tomorrow about 1. If you want to be here when they leave and pray for them, and we're going to have a time of prayer tomorrow before they leave, and just pray for them, remind them you'll be praying for them through the week. Also, pray for Miss Betty Campbell. She fell this week. Also, Miss Betty Moon, who's not doing well. And then also, Brother Wilson, your son-in-law's last name, Tim's last name, he has cancer. What's Tim's last name? Odom. Tim Odom. And if you would, just pray for him. Harold Bryant's mother passed away. So we've had a lot of deaths. We've had a lot of sickness. If you would, just be in prayer for all of those situations, for these families. But especially want you to lift up this morning these children, and we'll share with you some more later decisions that have been made this week too. Pray for those who are preparing for baptism as the Lord's dealing in your heart. Maybe it's something you need to pray about as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that you've extended to us. I thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through repentance and faith in him alone, we have salvation. And Lord, I pray, thanking you for these children that are coming today, Lord, that these youth and that are going to camp, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with them. I pray, Lord, for the parents, Lord, as they're gone, to be praying for them and, Lord, thinking of them. And, Lord, just praying, Lord, that if they know you, they will grow. If they don't, that they will come to faith in you. And, Lord, just pray, Lord, for them to have an open, obedient heart and spirit, Lord, to be willing to go and to do what they're asked to do. Not to be defiant, but Lord, to be mindful of Brandon and the chaperones, and Lord, for those that they're going to be working with them there at Fuge Camp. I pray, Lord, that they'll meet friends that may last for an eternity, Lord, beginning it this week. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just keep their eyes and their hearts sensitive to you. And Lord, that they would just seek after you hard and heavy, Lord. We pray, God, for our children that will be going back for children's church, for those who are helping to teach there, Lord, that they too would be obedient, Lord, to those who are helping them, Lord, that they would listen attentively, Lord, that they would enjoy the time they have together with you, with those who are loving on them, sharing you with them. Lord, I do pray especially, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, as we mentioned earlier, and Lord, those that are in battles with cancer, and Lord, just going through the struggles of life, Lord, physically, Lord, with aging, and Lord, our bodies deteriorating. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with each one, be with those caregivers. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll give them strength, give them wisdom. Lord, be with the doctors and nurses as they try to help them, Lord, but asking now, Lord, as the great physician, Lord, you would provide the healing that only you can provide. And God, I pray for us today as we're here to sit under your word, Lord, that we would not only hear your word, but we would also seek to be doers of your word, to listen, to hear, and to go and to do the things that you command us to do as our Lord, our Savior, and our King. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, as everyone's returning to their seats and those are going out, I just want to say a word of thank you to Brandon for preaching for me last week and allowing me to go to a funeral for a family member. But also for Josh a few weeks ago, I'm thankful that we have men in our church that can step in and lead and teach and preach the word faithfully and that are a blessing to me and a blessing to you as well. Part of that, I want to remind you too, is we're going to have a vote here in just a little bit for deacon election at the end of the service. And as we do that, I hope you've already been praying, but these men will serve for the next 3 years as leaders within our church. And men, if you are elected, just a reminder, next Tuesday night, you are encouraged and expected to be there as we try to continue that preparation to prepare you for your time of service as well. Well, I just want to say as we come today, we're in Matthew chapter 4. For you, those of you that were in the adult Sunday school class there for the young couples, I didn't tell you this earlier. You're going to get a double dose of it today, but you got kind of the version where, as we've been modeling about what small groups would look like, You saw how we can do things where maybe you hear a sermon and then you meet with your small group and you break it down even more on that text of Scripture and go deeper in that. So I want you to listen and I tell you to be a little bit different. And one, just the fashion of preaching it versus teaching it. But the other part of it is there are things I didn't tell you intentionally so that you can stay focused and pay attention this morning. And pray that God works in our lives. And just say this now. Whether we're at the end of service or not, as the Spirit of God begins to work in your heart and you need to come to this altar is open at any time. You can come and you can just be honest and forthright with God and let Him deal with you and deal with your heart to either forgive you, strengthen you, encourage you in whatever way it is that He's dealing with you. But as we've been preaching through the discipleship wheel, one of the things that becomes very apparent is we need to understand what is a disciple. As I met with the couples class this morning, I asked them all to write down their definition of what they understand a disciple of Christ to be. Now, they all had some good answers, and I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong, but what became apparent was they all had different ideas of what it meant in some sense to be a disciple of Christ. I think in our text today, there's a scripture verse here that will very clearly make it obvious to us what it is that Christ expects of us and demands of us to be a disciple of His. And when we get to that verse, I want to share that with you, and hopefully it'll encourage us in the fact that I think a lot of times we're trying to run around and say, should I be a Sunday school teacher? Should I help with children? Should I help with youth? Well, you know, you can do all those things because the Lord's gifted you at the time of salvation and given you a passion and a calling to serve in different areas in the church as He's created you to serve in those ways. But the two things that we need to do is, one, become a disciple, and two, help make disciples. That's a simple thing to think about in being a disciple of Christ. But with it, that complexity is the things going on in our world and the business of our lives is determining, will I commit to Christ my life, my time, my belongings that are, I think are mine that belong to Him anyway, and will I be fully committed to Christ? We're at a time when, unfortunately, the church as a whole in America, and I talk to pastors all the time, that the biggest thing is what is it going to take for people to be committed to Christ, to be a real follower of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ? Because we have a good text here to explain to us how a lot of folks like to come and listen and learn and then leave. But they don't understand fully what it means to be a follower of God. Let's begin in our text, and I'm going to begin in verse 17 because you can't really talk about this text without, first of all, talking about being a believer of God. It says that above that Jesus heard John speak, and he's passed through Capernaum and Nazareth, and then it says in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, Jesus didn't come with a new saying, a new teaching, because God had sent the forerunner, God the Father sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, before Him. And John, if you read over in the book of John in chapter 3, had already been saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And so what he's saying is, turn from the things of this world that are a distraction and turn back to God. And he's speaking, folks, listen to me, he's speaking to those who are professing followers of God. Now, he's certainly proclaiming that message of repentance to those that are lost. But I'm here to tell you today, it's time for the church of God to repent and turn back to God and commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about this, as Jesus is sharing how God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we expect that of Him, but you know, as we think about ourselves as a disciple of Christ, we should not be the same as we were before Christ, and we certainly shouldn't be the same as we were the first day we became a follower of Christ. We should be being changed more into His image every single day based on our walk with Him. Now, as I asked earlier, I said, how does one become a disciple of someone? Now, the common thing that took place during the time of Jesus was that people would do just like what these disciples of Jesus had been doing is they would listen and follow them around a little bit and listen to them teach and begin to decide, are they interesting enough? Do they keep my attention span? Am I learning from them sound a lot like church hoppers that like to go around and find that dynamic preacher that just, man, he's all over the place and he's got such a character. And man, every time he preaches, I can't fall asleep. I'm just enamored. I'd rather go and be there and hear that preacher because he just rings my bells, as people say, about, you know, rather than sit home and watch television. I want to tell you, it's not about the preacher. It's not about being entertained. He said, repent, meaning turn from yourself and your wicked ways of this world and turn to God. Meaning change directions and go in the way God's going and follow God. You cannot be a Christian and a follower of God if you're not following God. You have to follow Him, not a man, not a church. You have to follow God. And so as Jesus begins here, he starts a journey and he's on as he's starting his earthly ministry here. He's been already sharing. He's already been teaching, but he's now going to get very clear and to the point. As I was sharing earlier with the ones in Sunday school class, Jesus is going to draw a line in the sand here. First of all, he makes it clear that we have to repent. And I want to say there's a lot of people within the church that need to repent and turn back to God. You know, I see signs all the time. Judgment is going to fall at the house of God first. And it's true. I don't know why we would expect it. And we kind of think, well, you know, he's going to hit those heathens out there. He's patient and long-suffering, not desiring anyone should perish. But he's going to hold us accountable for those who have the understanding and have made a commitment to him of our words and our actions to him about what we've said and done against him and one another. And so it's a time we need to repent and turn to God. The next thing you see is in verse 18 and 19. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And in verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. You know, as we see what's taking place here, all of these men were familiar with Jesus, and Jesus knew them well. But as I said earlier, for about a year and a half now, they've been following along, following Jesus where he's at. They, if you read over in the book of John, you get a little more clarification. They were with him there at the wedding at Cana when he performed a miracle. They were there when he overturned the money changers' tables in the temple. They were there with the Samaritan woman. They had seen Jesus perform miracles. They had heard him proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. They had listened and were trying to decide for themselves, is this one the Messiah? Is he God? Is he the one that was promised to deliver us? And so as they've been weighing that, they're like a lot of these Christians that come and they want to sit and they listen and say, well, does he teach the word faithfully? Is he a proclaimer of God? A proclaimer of the word of God? Does his life match up with what he says? I mean, you know, we get inspected as pastors all the time. And, you know, I want to tell you, the Lord says we're not to judge, but pastors get judged by a lot of Christians. And so it's not about me this morning, but what I'm telling you is this. I'm asking you to look in the mirror and look at ourselves this morning. Not to be looking at anybody else and thinking about anybody else. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter how good a disciple somebody else is or may be or may not be. It's about what are you being the disciple that you're called to be and set apart to be. And so what's different here is this, is at the time of Jesus, they would follow along. And then the rabbi, they would ask him, can we be your followers or disciples? Jesus is breaking all the protocol here, and that he comes to them and says, listen, boys, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, here's what's interesting about this, is that he asked them, he knew their names, and he called them, and he asked them, you follow me. Now, here's the thing you need to understand, too. He knows your name, and he called you at some point if you're a follower of God, and he called you by name and said, come follow me. Now, we're being drawn by the Holy Spirit, but he invited us and he commands us here. And we look at this a lot of times, we just say, well, that's an open invitation. No, it was a command. You see, he's Almighty God. And he chose these men just like he chose you as a follower of God. And he says, you come follow me. Now, look, I can't explain all that with free will because I certainly believe in that. But here's the thing. Somewhere there together, they come together. But the thing that's clear is this, he called them And they were in their daily lives performing their normal work as they were just normal fishermen. And so as you think about, you know, when Peter and Andrew were there casting the net, it's like a circular net you cast out to catch fish with and drawing the net. And so when he gets over to James and John and they're there with their father, they're there at the boat and they're mending the nets. They're preparing so that they can go back out and earn a living. So a lot of us come up with this excuse, well, you know, it's not like it was in the time of the disciples. You know, most of them were fishermen or farmers or whatever it was, you know, and so they could just kind of pick up stakes and go wherever you said go. No. This was their livelihood. Their families were involved in their lives. They lived together with their families. And so it was an important decision. It was a life-changing decision that took place when he said, come follow me. And it says they immediately left their nets and left their father and left the boat and went to follow him. Now, the reason they did is this, is because of who Jesus is. You see, that's where it all starts. Is you got to understand who Jesus is. Is when you start thinking about the fact that he is the Lord God Almighty, the Son of God. When you start thinking about he came to this earth and lived a sinless life and went to the cross and died for you and for me. Now, he hadn't even done that at this point. And they had faith to believe and to follow. And yet we're looking back towards the cross and the resurrection. And of all things, we know that he is God and acknowledge him as God. And we see what he did for us. But here's the thing. You think about the cost involved for him to make us his disciples. And the fact that he gave his life. But when you think about that, when he called these men, on 17 different occasions there, we read where he spoke publicly to people in large crowds in the Gospels. But 46 different times it talks about him meeting with his disciples, whether it was the three or the 12, and how he spent time with them, and he shared with them, and he taught them things that he didn't always teach outside of there. He was preparing them for the vision that he had, and that vision was and still is that we would become disciples or followers of God, and then we would change this world through the proclamation of the gospel. That's a simple process to follow. It's a simple thing to understand and comprehend. You know, forget all this about, am I going to be a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a missionary or whatever? God will work through all that with you. First of all, just be a follower of God. If we had people just be committed to God and follow God, it would change your lives. It would change this church. It would change this community and this world that we live in. When we're first committed to Christ. And so as he is calling them, they first of all think about him and who he is. They have acknowledged at this point he is God. They have weighed and counted the cost of leaving their livelihood, leaving their families. And this scares a lot of Christians. Most American Christians that are called and saved and begin serving the Lord never have to move away from home. Everybody seems to be afraid you're going to be like Ashley Johnson, that you're going to have to be going halfway around the world to be a missionary. Well, why would you be afraid of that if that's what God calls you to do? We should be praying, Lord, if that's me, here am I. Whether it's to sweep and clean up the buildings, or whether it's to teach a Sunday school class, or whether it's to go and serve as a missionary. Whatever it is he asks us to do is be, Lord, here am I. Use me. By being available. By being in relationship with him, by being close fellowship with him. And so they acknowledge, first of all, who he is. But then that other part is follow. Now, I want to tell you, when you begin to follow God, you become just like these men. You see, they didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't know how they were going to get there. They didn't know what provisions were going to be provided for them ahead of time. They followed by faith. In Christ, and in Christ alone. And you see, that's the way it is today with us. We have to follow him by faith in him alone. That he's called us, he will equip us, he will provide for us everything that's needed to fulfill the mission and the plan he has for us in our life as we are obedient to him. You know, when you think about it, I was sharing with them that basically, this is kind of like the Fab Five, so to speak, here when you look at the ones that are here, because you go back and as you see earlier that Nathaniel and Philip and Peter and John and James had all been with Jesus on another occasion there. And when you think about that, I'll share with them about a story of a startup company that was a podcast company. And right about the time they had a small number of employees, right about the time they were preparing to launch and start this company, Apple came out with iTunes and had a big portion that was about podcasting. So even before they started, this major company just shut them down. They were dead as far as the company right there. But they met together and they began to brainstorm. As they began to talk, they came up with this idea is that we're going to do something where you can send text or emails based like a text and just keep it to 140 characters, and you'll have discussion groups or topics you talk about. And as you do that, you can invite other people to come and join you in a forum of talking about that and communicate with them. And it became Twitter. Now, most of you have never heard of Odeo, which was the name of the little company they had started, but it became Twitter. And it's a worldwide company now. But with that, the people that participate have to invite people to come and follow them. And I think about this. Now, you think about what's happening here. These men, I don't even know about a relationship with Christ, if they have one or anything. And Twitter, from what I've seen, doesn't appear that they do. Because even in the Christian world, it can get quite ugly on Twitter, especially if you want to follow things about the convention that's about to happen this week and you need to be praying for. And so when you think about that, is that we willingly invite people to participate in the things we're interested in and care about and want them to know about, and we want to share life together about. Now think about that concept a minute. It's called social media. It's social because one person invites another person, they invite someone else, and it just continues to multiply. You see the principle? It's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. It's when he started with these few, and how by the time he died, there were well over 100. And by the day of Pentecost, there were over 3,000 more added. And it says, and every day they were being added to the church, those who came to faith in the Lord. Do you know what that is? That's one person going to another person and inviting them to know Jesus and to come to faith in the God that saved them. That's what we call evangelism. It's that simple, folks. It's like one beggar giving a crumb to another beggar who's hungry. Just feeding them with something that they need. But what everyone needs, and no question about it, is the Lord Jesus Christ and relationship with him. Not knowledge of who he is. Satan and the demons know who he is. And that's just listening, and that's just learning. But what we're talking about is a committed relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in Christ and repentance and faith in him. And so as Jesus is calling them and challenging them to step out, I told him it's like he drew a line in the sand and he said, if you cross this line, you're mine. If you stay over there, just go on back out into the world. And I want to tell you here this morning, if you're here and you're not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not willing to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, I had a professor at seminary that these guys would come in and they'd take the quiz. Every class we met on Tuesday and Thursday, they'd take the quiz and sit in the back. There was a back door and they would run out the back door. There was about 30 of them. As soon as they finished that quiz, and it was an hour and a half long class, they thought they knew everything. They didn't need to sit under no teaching. They didn't need the Word of God taught to them. They didn't need better understanding. They didn't need to fellowship with their other brothers in Christ and all those things, that we'll just do the minimum. And I love him. He stopped them one day. He said, just hold on a minute. And they started saying, oh no, don't sit down. Don't sit down. By now, I want you to know that I've pretty much come to understand who you are by the roll. Because see, they'd sign in and say, I'm here. Take a quiz and they'd leave. He said, don't sit down. He said, I want you to understand, I'm praying for you that you get a church. If you stay in the ministry, you get a church that's just as sorry as you are and as unfaithful and uncommitted to God as you are. But why don't you do God and the kingdom of God a favor? And when you hit those steps out there and go back out into the world, just keep going. Now, folks, that's honesty. But the problem is we tiptoe around being truthful with one another. And it's time that people repent of their sin. And the biggest sin within the church is a lack of commitment. I want to thank all of those who came Sunday and were here just to give out information about our church. We didn't ask anybody to go and share the gospel. We just said, would you just come and go out into the community? We got places to go. And would you go out and just hand out information or hang it on a mailbox so that people can see the opportunities here and that we want to invite them to come? And 10 people decided it's important. And everybody's like, well, somebody else will do it for me. It's not important. Now, I don't say that to shame anybody because that's not what I'm here for. My thing is this. It's not about one did this and the other didn't do this. My thing is this. Think about this. The Lord called and saved you. He died for you. He said, come follow me to you. And when he said that, he didn't say, well, Johnny or Susie will take up your slack over here for you. He said, you be obedient to follow me. That's a personal command that he's saying, come and follow me. And too often the thing is well, we'll just let some others do it. I would dare to say now we're down to about 10% of the church trying to maintain and do the work of the kingdom and the bride of Christ for the other 90% to run and play and go and do whatever you want or sit on their backside and do nothing. That ain't what God's calling you to. He said, if you cross that line, if you say that you want to commit yourself to me, then you belong to me. You see, because he is master and we're a servant to the master. And when you serve a master, you don't tell him what you will and will not do. He tells you what you will and will not do. And with that said is that he calls all of us and gifts us and says, come follow me. Do the work of evangelism. Be a servant of the tables. Help clean up and do the things that need to be done. Tell people about Jesus. All these things, but yet it's not just about the doing of them. You see, because you can do it with the wrong motive. Well, I'm just here because that preacher guilted me and I felt like a dog, or you know, people's going to hear and realize I wasn't here and I ain't been here. No, that's not it at all. We're not getting into legalism here. Thing is, you've been set free in the liberty that's found in Christ alone if you're a follower of Christ. But that liberty doesn't give you the liberty to choose, I will do it or I won't do it, based on how I feel or what I want to do is better. It's that, Lord, whatever you tell me to do and call me to do, here I am. Use me. Now, folks, I love you and love you dearly. And it's not just about Sunday. But there's a lot of things missing, not getting done around here because people ain't committed to the body of Christ. We're about to elect 3 people to serve as leaders within this church to join those that are leading. And I want to say from the leadership down is we've got to be committed. And if you're not going to be committed, don't take a position. Now, that don't mean just, well, I won't serve. Because here's the thing, I'm not going to be your judge. That is between you and God. And you can sit here and be defiant, and you can be rebellious towards man or the church or whatever, towards me, it doesn't matter. But I won't have to answer for you when you stand before God. I don't have to answer for me, and that's going to be bad enough. And so I'm not here pointing fingers at anybody and trying to shame anybody. I'm just saying, look, are we going to be committed and real followers of Christ? Here's the thing. When you think about Jesus spent all this time with his disciples. Well, here's the thing. He didn't chase them down out at the ball fields. And he didn't chase them down out here at the golf course. And he didn't chase them down at the malls. They came following him. They came looking for him. Wherever Jesus was, that's where they went. And so with that said, you know, I love everybody that's a member of this church. But the thing is, we've got to make decisions. Am I committed or am I a fraud? And that's where it's at. And so Jesus has invited, he's commanded. And you know, as we look at these men, they made a willing, immediate decision because they had been thinking about it and weighing the cost. And when he said, come, they said, here I am. Now, I'm thankful for all that are here. But we're not here about trying to draw crowds. We're here about telling people about Jesus and people's lives being changed. Beginning with us and reaching those throughout this community to the ends of the world. And you know, when you think about that, it's not going to happen if we walk around and we don't ever share the gospel. You know, I was told for the first time, and I saw the video, Penn and Teller, the magicians or illusionists or whatever you want to call it, that do a show out in Vegas of a testimony of Penn Jillette. He's a vowed atheist. And he was talking about how they invite people to come up and to help participate in their acts. And as they come up, they don't just send them back into the crowd. They keep them over here behind the curtains here on the stage where they can get a firsthand up-close look of everything else that happens. And then afterwards, they go over and they sign autographs and talk to them a little bit and thank them for participating and all those things. And he said that there was a guy, and he says he's a big old guy. He says, three times, he's a big fella. And if you know Jillette, he was a big fella. He's lost about 100 pounds, but he was a big fella. And he said, he's a big fella, but he said, the next night, this guy came back with some of the cue cards that he had there that they had signed for him. And he said he was the nicest guy. He said he gave me a Gideon Bible. And he said, you gave something to me last night, and I want to give you a gift. And in that gift, it tells you about what I believe and who I believe in. Now, he didn't get to share the gospel, and he didn't go into details. He didn't push it on him. He didn't beat him over the head. He said, if you would take this, I'd like to give you a gift. And in the front, he said he had wrote about three different ways he could be emailed and texted and phone numbers and all, his address at home. Anyway, he said, if you have any questions, please call me. He said, I believe this man knew I was an atheist. And he said, I've been proselytized before. And he said, so you're proselytizing me. He said, yes, I am. He said, but he was so kind and so nice about it. He just said, I just want you to know who I love. And the thing about it was it touched him to the point. He said, you know, the thing I hate is that if I was a Christian, and I'm not, he said, but if I was, how could I have the news that could save everybody and not tell anybody? He said, how cruel, how heartless could you be that you would walk around with news that could save somebody and never open your mouth to tell them about your Jesus? He said, I hadn't converted, but I respect this man and I appreciate this man, and he was a good man. Now, here's the thing. That's an individual. That's a man saying this is a good person. He doesn't even know this man. But my question is this, when we get to heaven, you've heard it said before, is God going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or are we going to try to slide in with smoking pajamas and say, Lord, thank you, I'm here? You know, I think a lot of us are just hoping to get there. You ask people that are professing Christians, do you know if you die today, you're going to spend eternity in heaven? They say, well, I hope so. It ain't about hoping as in, like, that takes more faith of a blind faith, leap of faith than believing in Jesus and saying, I know so. Because he has told me these things are written that I may know that I have eternal life. You see, his promises are true because he is God and he will fulfill his promises. The question is, we make promises too. Will we fulfill our promises? I want to ask you today, are you a disciple and are you making disciples? And if you're not, what is the biggest obstacle or hindrance to you being a disciple? Because I want to tell you, it rests right here. It's got to be a heart change. It's got to take place from the very beginning, and it's got to take place where maybe you've just been playing along like these guys, listening along, rolling along, happy just to come periodically and participate in things and check it off the list or do the cultural thing in the South of going to church once a month, once every 2 months, whatever you think it is. But that ain't going to get it. Folks, I'm here to give you a warning today, and it's a warning from God. Come follow me, he said. And he's saying, commit your life to me and no one and nothing else. We know that he is supposed to be our first love, but yet we put all these things and use all these excuses. Those excuses ain't going to work when you get to heaven. Preachers and people are sick of hearing them. I don't even hardly ask no more because I'm tired of hearing them. Sickens me. What do you think it does to him? So this morning, if you're sincere and you mean it, this altar is open. Maybe you just need to come and recommit your life to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I'm going to leave whatever it is behind me, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to tell others about you, because I'm going to become a disciple, and I'm going to help make disciples of others. But if you're not willing to make that commitment, stay seated right where you're at. I'll pray for you. And you need to begin to pray too. Let's stand. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for not only the invitation, but the command to come to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've told us first we have to repent. And Lord, as we come today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would all come to you and repent for, Lord, not being faithfully committed to you. And Lord, that with that, we would commit ourselves to you, Lord, from this point forward. And Lord, to place you as our first love, Lord, in our lives. Lord, to be seeking to follow you, to obey you, and to become a disciple. And Lord, certainly to be telling others about you and making disciples as well. Lord, may you be glorified through your bride, the church of God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.